Hello, and welcome to the So What podcast, in which political economic analyst JP Lantman discusses the issues uppermost in the minds of South Africans. You can find a written version of this content on JP's website, jplantman.co.za. I am Ruda Lantman, and I am your host. This podcast goes with JP's newsletter dated the 4th of June, 2025, and the title, Budgets and Tariffs, So Where Are We Now? I feel we've been here before.
Yes, indeed. This is the third note that we're doing on budgets and tariffs, because the thing has been developing so much and in so many directions. But this is hopefully a conclusion of the budgets and tariffs story, certainly the budget story.
Last time you made the point that for the first time now, Parliament has the right, the freedom to change the budget.
Yes.
And you were quite worried. You said this was a decisive moment.
Absolutely. And you just have to look at the US to see what can happen if parliamentarians, in the case of the US, the Congress, dive into the budget and start changing numbers as it suits them. So it was what I labeled it in the last newsletter was it was a moment of decision. And I'm happy to say at the time of writing this note, the correct decisions seem to have been taken. The center is holding in the sense that most of the middle parties are coming together around the budget as proposed by Treasury. Treasury's integrity and reputation is intact, and there's no splurge of either expenditure or higher debt. So I'm quite happy that the moment of decision, that moment has come and passed, and we've taken the right decisions.
For you, it is mainly about debt.
Oh, absolutely. It's about debt stabilization. There's simply no question about it. The biggest single issue is to stabilize South Africa's debt, bring it down, and save money on interest. And for that, the most important number in the budget, for me at least, is the primary surplus. And the primary surplus is simply whether your income is more than your expenditure before you start paying interest. We've run a primary deficit for a long time. 3 years ago, we started with a primary surplus. This year in the budget that has now been tabled, budget number three, the primary surplus is budgeted to be 65 billion this year. Now, it means you will still run on a deficit. It means that you will still incur debt, take on debt, but with 65 billion more in income than expenditure, the debt that you take on is decreasing. And over time, that helps to stabilize debt. So the primary surplus is a very important number.
What's happening to the debt to GDP ratio?
That has gone up a little bit, not because there's more expenditure, but because economic growth is budgeted to be lower. In February, with the first budget, economic growth was assumed to be it would be 1.9% for the year. After the Trump tariffs that we've had and so on, the assumption in the budget now is that growth will be 1.4%. So because there's less growth, but all the other numbers remain the same, therefore the percentage goes up a little bit. It goes up by 1.2% and it goes to 77.5%, which is a high number, but if you compare it to many other countries in the world, it's still doable. The trick is to bring that number down, and you do that by way of primary surpluses.
And that can only happen over years.
It's not a short-term thing. You need time for that. But when you start running primary surpluses, as we are now doing, this will be the third year, then people sit up and they notice and the markets start responding and your interest burdens start declining.
How has the market reacted?
Actually, quite good. If you take the rate on when Budget 2 was tabled in April, the long rate, the long yield, was sitting at 10.75%. It has slowly come down, drifted downwards, about 38 basis points now, or 0.38%. Now, you can say 38 basis points is not a lot, but on the amount of money that the minister wants to borrow this year, 588 billion rand, it implies an interest saving of 2.2 billion rand over 12 months. So it's a huge amount of money that you save in interest with lower rate. With 2.2 billion, you can appoint a lot of teachers, and you can appoint a lot of doctors, and you can fix up a lot of hospitals. So the long rate is not just a theoretical concept. It's very real. It determines the interest that you pay, and the lower it is, the lower interest you pay, the more money you have available for other things.
Well, we all know what interest rates mean on a bond on your house or a loan on your car.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah. You mentioned something really unexpected, a possible source of extra money. It sounds as if the nation has a sock full of money under the mattress.
in a manner of speaking, almost yes. It is called the Gold and Foreign Exchange Reserve Account, which is held at the Reserve Bank. And basically, there are surpluses that build up in that account. And last year, the minister drew money from that account to pay off on debt.
Where does that money come from?
Well, when the rand depreciates against foreign currencies, it generates a surplus on the reserves that the Reserve Bank are holding. And the question then is, to whom does that surplus belong? Does it belong to the Reserve Bank, or does it belong to the nation? And it's a kind of iterative process between the two. So after last year's experience, what will happen this year is that in the second half of the year, going towards October, the Treasury and the Reserve Bank will sit together and they will decide, is there a sufficient surplus in the GFRAC account that can again be drawn, 10 billion, 20 billion, whatever. And then if you draw that money, that'll be a bonus, you pay it off on debt, and you save the interest. Just for context, last year the bank paid over, or the government drew, 250 billion from that account. 100 billion went back to the Reserve Bank as equity capital, so you reinforce the balance sheet of the Reserve Bank, and 150 billion was used to repay debt. And that's why if you look at the numbers, you will see there was a sharp decline in interest payments last year, precisely because there is this extra money that was used to repay debt. There's a huge difference between drawing the money to repay debt and drawing the money to pay current expenditure. There are people who would like the money to be used for current expenditure, but that's, of course, a crazy idea.
A slippery slope.
It's a very slippery slope.
So all, in your perspective, all good news up to now, but it's still a long road. There are still, what, 4 voting dates?
Yeah, as we discussed in our very first note that we did on the budget 3 notes ago, there are 4 decision-making stages. The first one is the approval of the fiscal framework. That is at the moment penciled into the parliamentary calendar for 11 June, basically the week after next. Then the second decision is the division of revenue bill. That is put down for 25 June, when Parliament has to decide on that. And then the third one is the appropriation bill, which will start, the discussion will start on 27 June. And the appropriation bill is basically the approval of each individual department in government. In the jargon, it's called a parliamentary vote. All those individual departmental budgets must be approved. And then the final approval of the appropriation bill will be on 23 July. So it's about 7-8 weeks from now. And then in October, we'll get the medium-term budget policy statement. And after that, there will be the revenue bills that will be tabled to Parliament. So it's basically 4 decision-making rounds, and each one of them is quite important. If one of them falls by the wayside, then you don't have a budget. You've got to have all 4 decisions. And this is where the party whips come in. They have to keep the members in line and make sure that people vote according to the party's position. Now, so far, the main parties in Parliament all support the budget. MK and EFF is against it, and EFF is taking the increase in the fuel levies to the High Court. We will have to see what the court decides on that.
So, the second half of the newsletter, post the White House meeting that had us all glued to our screens, when the dust has settled, it's really about trade. Where are we on that?
That's where I want to focus. I think, you know, millions of people have got trillions of opinions on the theatre and the theatrics around it, be that as it may. I think the important point for us is trade. So let me first summarise where we are now. First of all, AGOA is dead. That's quite clear. Trump's general 10% import levy that is imposed against the whole world, not just against AGOA members, drove a stake through the AGOA agreement. So that one is dead, and people must just forget about it. It's not going to be around. Then Trump has also threatened to impose 31% reciprocal tariffs, on many countries, also on South Africa. It's important, those tariffs, as you know, have been suspended until 9 July, and we will have to see whether he brings them back or not. It's important to note that half of South Africa's exports to the US have not been tariffed because it consists of minerals, various mineral products that the US is keen to have, and Trump has therefore exempted those minerals from tariffs. So there's a general 10% on everything, but not on minerals. Minerals have been exempted. And then there is a 25% tariff on steel, aluminium, automobiles, motor cars, and also automobile spare parts, which are used in the US to assemble motor cars there. What will happen on the 25%, we don't know. Since we started writing this note, Trump has in fact doubled down and he increased the steel tariffs to 50%. So we'll have to see how that turns out. So in summary, half the exports are not tariffed. The rest is subject to 10%, but steel, aluminium, and motor cars are subject to 25%, and steel now apparently to 50%. So that's where we stand.
What has South Africa put on the table?
Well, the details of the South African proposal have not been made public yet, but thanks to Reuters, some of the details have come out. And South Africa has basically offered to buy liquefied natural gas, LNG, from the United States for a period of 10 years at a rate of between 75 and 100 million cubic meters per annum. Now, as listeners will know, South Africa is facing a gas cliff by 2028-29, when gas from Mozambique will run out and we'll have to find other gas sources to satisfy internal demand. So buying LNG from America is not a bad idea. And that's one of the things that South Africa has put on the table. South Africa has also proposed, secondly, that 40,000 motor vehicles can be exported to the US every year duty-free. Now, last year, we only exported 20,000. So the 40,000 is quite a generous claim, if I can put it that way. Again, we'll have to see whether that's acceptable. And thirdly, on steel, we have proposed that 385 million kilograms of steel and 132 million kilograms of aluminium can be exported duty-free to the U.S. every year. Those are the three very tangible things that Reuters have picked up. Now, whether that's acceptable to the Americans, we'll have to see. I think one must look at the negotiating position. America clearly wants some of our minerals. They also want American companies to be involved in gas exploration in South Africa, which we're undertaking. They also would like to sell gas to us. On the other hand, we would like to sell motor car parts to them and automotive parts, and we would like to sell steel and aluminium. So they want access here, we want access there. We'll have to see whether these two things, these two sets of demands can be turned into an agreement. And that redoubts perhaps the most important comment on a White House meeting. The proof of the pudding is in the eating. And if the meeting in the White House can help to keep the South African proposal on the table and at the front of the queue, and we can negotiate it quicker than what we otherwise would have had negotiated it, that would be a very clear win. Trump himself has said that the United States cannot negotiate all these agreements.
They just don't have the people and the time.
They just don't have the people and the capacity. You're talking about something like 90 countries, 90. That have indicated they want to negotiate with the U.S. Now, obviously, you would much rather be country number 10 than country number 90 or country number 80. And if the White House meeting helped to achieve that, then I think it would have been a clear win.
What about Starlink?
Starlink is about a lot of dust and noise. The principle is very, very simple. In the Triple B Double E Act Broad-Based Black Economic Empowerment Act of 2003, there's a very clear stipulation that an equity ownership requirement can be replaced by what is called equity alternative investments. And there are several big American and global companies operating in South Africa who've made use of this. For example, Citibank, I think Amazon, and so on. So what those companies are saying is we can't give away or we can't do a deal around equity in our South African subsidiary, but we're happy to do more for training or more for people development or more for enterprise development. There we will do more than what is required in the various scorecards, and those equity equivalents then make up for the equity component. So that is not a new principle. It's in the Act. It's also in the BEE charter for the ICT sector. So what is this fight then about? This fight is because in the Electronic Communications Act, there's a specific requirement that before a license can be issued under the Act, there must be a 30% ownership component. Now, that is what the Act currently says. The minister has now issued a government gazette to say that that can be changed by way of regulations. That is very dubious because if it's an act, it's an act. And if you want to change it, you will have to change the act, and that's a lengthy process. It can take a couple of months to do that. He's trying to take a shortcut by saying that the regulator, ICASA, can take a decision around that by way of regulations. And that's what the debate is about. I suspect in the end it will have to be determined by a court ruling. So, but it's certainly not a new principle. It is something that has been used in South Africa, and there's no reason why it cannot be used again.
Who will take it to court?
Well, either anybody who's unhappy, anybody who's unhappy can take it to court. I just want to point out, people are focused on Starlink, but there are other operators in the world who also operate low-Earth, LEOs, low-Earth orbit satellites. Kuiper, for example, which is the name of some galaxy somewhere in the universe, is a project run by Amazon. Amazon has started launching satellites to introduce Project Kuiper to do exactly the same thing as Starlink. Eurotel is doing the same thing in Europe, exactly the same story. They're talking to MTL, to MTN rather. Vodacom is talking to Project Kuiper. So there are other alternatives. There are also alternatives in China. So Starlink is not the only game in town. But these other companies, should they want to come in, they would also have to meet the 30% requirement. So this exemption can apply to more than just Starlink.
In summary, so what?
Well, I think, first of all, the drama that we had around budget, when Parliament flexed its muscles and the budget couldn't be tabled, and then the increase in the VAT rate couldn't go through and so on, that is now behind us. And I think the bottom line is that the central focus of debt stabilization and debt consolidation has not been lost. There's a clear political focus on that. There's a clear political will to bring that down. The increase that we've seen in the percentage is because the GDP growth is lower, not because there's more expenditure. So I think that's a plus. The center is holding around the budget. There's a kind of a fiscal conservatism or a fiscal middle of the roadism, which I think is to be welcomed. That's a very important so what. And I think secondly, the mere fact that the budget in South Africa after the shaky start is taken this way stands in very sharp contrast to the way the US is now finalizing their budget. It went through the House of Congress last week. So you've got a clear comparison. And if you look at how that budget is just exploding in terms of deficit and more debt, and you look at how the South African budget is being controlled or managed down by way of discipline, it's an interesting contrast to take note of. And then South Africa, I think the third so what is that South Africa now has tabled the proposal. We must now see how the US reacts to it. Now, when the US will pay attention to it, when there will be serious negotiations, that is up in the air. We don't know. But at least there's a proposal on the table, and hopefully that will help to stabilize the trade relationship between the two countries.
What's the Chinese curse? May we live in interesting times. I hope it becomes boring soon.
Absolutely, absolutely.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Thank you for listening to the So What podcast. If you enjoy this content, please don't forget to leave a review and a rating, and please consider subscribing so you don't miss any future episodes. Also, tell your friends. Remember, you can find a written version of all JP's content at jplandman.co.za.